thanks for taking your time to come out this morning on in one of the world's worst kept secrets. I'm very proud on behalf of Shad today to announce that the Jaguars will induct Mark Brunell into the Pride of the Jaguars on December 15th this year when we host the Buffalo Bills. It has never been a question of whether or not Mark belonged there. It was only a question of when. Mark was the first player the Jaguars acquired in a trade. He went on to lead the team to 4 playoff berths, 8 postseason games, and 2 AFC championship games during his 9 seasons as the Jaguars starting quarterback. Owns virtually every Jaguars passing record. Mark was one of 13 players in Jaguars history to play 9 seasons or more here in Jacksonville. He started 117 games and threw for more than 25,000 yards and 144 touchdowns, all still ranking as Jaguar career records. He led the NFL in passing yards in 1996 and was voted to the AFC Pro Bowl squad 3 times and was named the Pro Bowl Games MVP in 1997. After going on to play in Washington, New Orleans, and New York, Mark ended his 19-year NFL career, and he and his wife, Stacy, moved back here to Jacksonville. This is their home, and we're very proud that Mark has become an even more important part of the Jaguars franchise versus a player. Debuted as an announcer this preseason, and it's great to have them here in the community because in many respects, Mark and his family, other members of the Pride, Tony Boselli, Fred Taylor, are really what the Jaguar family is all about. And we thank you very much for that. Mark, along with other 2 other players in the Pride of the Jaguars, was a leader in every sense of the word. He led the way in the locker room and on the field, and he has led his way in the community as well. To this day, the Mark Brunell Foundation does great things in this community, just as Mark is doing as a head football coach at Episcopal School of Jacksonville. Let me also add that today's date is a significant one in Jaguars history. On October 1st, 1995, the Jacksonville Jaguars got their first win in franchise history, a 17-16 come-from-behind victory in the Astrodome against the Houston Oilers. Mark didn't start that day, but he came in on the fourth quarter to throw a 15-yard screen pass to Desmond Howard with 1:09 left for the winning touchdown. And from that day on, he was the starting quarterback. A lot has changed since then, including Mark becoming one of our radio and TV announcers. But Mark was and always will be the pride of the Jaguars. So, Mark, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate that. Well, thank you, Mark. I appreciate this. This is it's a great honor. And first of all, I want to thank Mr. Khan and Mr. Lamping for this. For this opportunity. I want to thank David Caldwell and all the members of the Jaguar organization. This is, there's a lot of people to thank, and there's a lot of reasons why I'm fortunate to be sitting in this seat right now. First and foremost, my wife Stacy, who's joining me today, and the coaches, my teammates, Tony Boselli had a lot to do with it, blocking for me, and I'm just thankful for the opportunity to join the Pride of the Jaguars. There's some great names up there. Tony, obviously, being the first, and Fred Taylor, a couple guys that made my job easy, and I was very fortunate. And I'm a firm believer that to do well as a quarterback in the NFL, you've got to have good people around you. And from the first day that I set foot in Jacksonville, I was very thankful that I had very good people around me, starting with the head coach and Tom Coughlin. Great coaching staff, and like I said, great teammates like Tony and Fred, and the list goes on and on. This is our home, and we are so thankful to be back in Jacksonville. We plan on being here for a long, long time, and really have always felt an attachment with this community. Jacksonville, as everyone knows, is a great place to raise a family, and so thankful to be a part of this community and partnering once again and being a part of the Jaguars family, doing the broadcast. I mean, this is a dream come true, coming home, getting to be a part of the organization that I love so much. And so this is real special. The passing records, they get broken eventually. The other individual awards, Pro Bowls, and those things, big games, sometimes get forgotten. But the opportunity to be on the Pride, that goes on. That lives on. It's so special for me, not only me, but for my family, my children. And it's something that I will always hold dear. And so I'm very thankful for this opportunity. Again, thankful for Mr. Khan and Mark and the Jaguar organization for allowing me to be a part of this. So thank you very much, and I guess we'll open it up for some questions.
What is your
got it.
What is your fondest memory when you look back at your years here? And you've often said you really didn't know much about Jacksonville when you got here. So a kid from California ends up in spending the rest of his life in Jacksonville is kind of interesting.
I'll tell you a quick story. When I was with Green Bay and there was trade talks and obviously, with backing up Brett Favre, I wasn't exactly going to get on the field, and so looking forward to an opportunity to play. And I got a call from Michael Hugh and Tom, and the trade had gone down, and it had happened. I was headed to Jacksonville, so my wife was at home, and she was not at home. She was with a friend somewhere, and she said, "I said, sweetheart, we got traded to Jacksonville." And Stacy said, "Where's Jacksonville?" And then all I had to do was say, "It's in Florida," and you could hear the screaming. The fact that it was in Florida, but not only were we thankful to go from Wisconsin to Florida, we didn't realize how good of a deal it was going to be part of the Jacksonville community. I mean, within months we fell in love with this place, and so that is my greatest memory, just the opportunity to be a part of this community. On the field, there were a lot, Dan. I think, and Mark alluded to it, that first win against Houston. That was pretty special. The Denver game, and there was quite a few, and so but those two really stick out.
Did you always know you wanted to move back to Jacksonville after leaving?
I did. We left in 2004, and we always had one foot in Jacksonville. I mean, this has been home, like I said, since very early on, and we had a tough time leaving because we, in our minds, we wanted to stick around for the rest of my career, and that didn't happen. So we couldn't wait, and we played a few different teams after Jacksonville, and then just couldn't wait to get back. And so this has been home for us.
Why do you think you had such a great connection with the fans here?
It was early. It was exciting. We were brand new. I mean, our first year, we struggled. I mean, Tony could tell you, we were 4-12. We were awful. But yet, there was a connection, it felt like, between the players, the organization, and the community. And I think it also helped that we were in the community, too. A lot of guys were involved on our days off and our time away from the building. We were doing different things in charities, and a lot of guys had set up foundations, and so we tried to, and that wasn't something that was thrust upon us. We just had a bunch of good guys, some character guys that wanted to give back, and I'm not the only one that really, felt a connection with this community. All the guys, it's the reason why so many guys are still living in this area. So there were a lot of reasons, but there was definitely a bond I thought between the Jacksonville community and the football team, simply because it was young, and the city was thrilled to have a NFL franchise here, and quite frankly, we were all glad to get a chance to play. I haven't talked to you a long time, Vito. It's been a long time. I've missed you.
Any regrets the way it ended?
As far as how it ended with the Jaguars?
Yeah, the contract thing.
I wanted to remain a Jaguar throughout my whole career, no question. But I got to tell you, and I think things happen for a reason. My next stops with Washington, with New Orleans, and with the Jets, and not just in the, football way, it was very good for my family, and without going into it, in a lot of different ways. And those were very, very good experiences, not always professionally on the field, but off the field for us, getting to different parts of the country and experiencing some of the things that we were able to experience, New York, D.C., New Orleans, it was right. It was professionally not exactly what I had planned, but as a family, it was really good for us. It really was.
So it worked out okay.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. It worked out perfectly.
When you first walked in here in 95, do you imagine this day?
No. I was going into my third year. I came in as a backup to Steve Beuerlein, as you guys know. I was just looking for an opportunity to play, and I felt like I was fortunate to get those 2 years with the Packers in, and I was absolutely thrilled. Now, I didn't know anything about Tom or what the next 6 months were going to look like. I don't think anybody envisioned that, but didn't know if I was going to get an opportunity to play, but it was certainly my best chance to get on the field, and that's all I wanted. I just wanted a chance to compete and get on the field and kind of see what I could do, you know, and see if I was good enough to make it in this league. And things worked out early on. We struggled early. I was allowed to get a chance to get on the field. And while we weren't very good, we did some good things. But I never envisioned this moment. That's why it's so special, you know. You walk into that stadium, you see Tony's name and Fred's name, the Weavers. It's pretty cool to me. I think it's very special. And like I said, it's special for me and my family, my kids, you know, maybe my grandkids. It's something that will be special to them for a long time as well.
Think about what might have been if you had the knee injury in 97.
What might have been my knee injury in 97? I don't know. I don't think about that. I'd probably have more rushing yards and less passing yards. I don't know. Maybe that's all I can think of. I don't think too much of it, but Vito, I believe everything happens for a reason, and even though injuries or contract things or moves, things worked out for the best, no question.
Talk about how you evolved as a quarterback, though, because obviously when you started here, one of the things the fans loved about you was your, you know, the way you run around in the pocket and take off, and you often joke, you know, I'd look for the first guy being there, I'm out of there.
That wasn't a joke. That was serious.
But how did you, you know, talk about the work that went into it and just the process of getting better as an NFL quarterback?
Yeah, early on, I wasn't ready to, you know, I didn't come into this league a very good passer. That took some time. I had the ability to run, and so I leaned on that very heavily because I just wasn't very comfortable, 95 to a degree, 96, and it took some time, and it takes time. It takes time. I didn't play a whole lot in college. I didn't play at all in Green Bay, a little bit of mop-up time, so there really wasn't a lot of time to develop. And where I learned was in games, on the field. You know, 96 threw for a bunch of yards. A lot of it was trash yards. Ran for a bunch of yards. We were on the field. We had some good players. But that's really where I learned you got to be careful with the ball, and, you know, you need to go through your progression. I was learning a system that that was pretty complicated, I thought. So it just took some time. And I think having that knee injury in 97 slowed me down a little bit, and it forced me to stay in the pocket. And basically, you're forced to go through your progressions. You go 1, 2, 3, 4, and if at that point you go, you know, no one's there, you got to go, like any quarterback does, or throws it away. But early on, it was one and done. If first guy wasn't there, whoever that was, you know, I would take off simply because I just didn't have a real good feel for how to work the pocket, and I wasn't very patient. But I felt like it eventually got there.
You seem confident lately, 50%
more as opposed to now. You know, I've said that 100 times. I appreciated him more, without a doubt, after he was my head coach. Part of that was experiencing what it was like to have other head coaches and different styles and personalities. And we all know, and Tony would tell you, he was tough to play for. But He was very consistent, is very consistent. He was demanding, is demanding, but you knew exactly where you stood. You knew what his expectations were, and if you didn't meet those expectations, he was going to let you know, which is not a bad thing. You know, players didn't like going down the hall. They didn't like that very much, but there was no gray area. You knew that if you weren't meeting his expectations, if you weren't performing at the level that you should have been performing at, he was going to let you know, and it was great. Not every place is like that. Very few places are like that, where there is communication between the players and the head coach, you know, as far as, you know, what level they need to be executing in. And so it was a good thing, and it was really good. It really was good for me, and because he held me to a very high standard at the quarterback position, probably higher than the other guys. And looking back on it, that was a very good thing.
Was there anything that you learned from Coughlin that you infused in your coaching style?
That's a great question. I do yell a lot more than I thought I would. I think the consistency, you know, just being who you are, not trying to be somebody else. And I've seen coaches that try to be something that they're not. They try to be, you know, a player's coach, or they try to be an old school hard nose, and they're just not that. You knew exactly what you were getting with Tom, and I respect the guys that they coach based on their personalities, who they are. They're not trying to be somebody else. So I think I've taken that from Tom. I'm gonna be myself. I like to be balanced. I think you need to get after your players at times, but you also need to encourage them and support them. And every kid's different. But I've learned a lot from Coach Coughlin as far as his coaching style, and I've taken a lot from Sean Payton and Rex and Joe Gibbs. You know, I've been around some very, very good head coaches, and I've drawn from my experiences with them, and they all have really helped me. Now, I've been coaching for about 4 months, you know, not even 4 months, so I'm brand new at this thing, and I'm learning, but I really enjoy it. It's very rewarding.
Is there one play that fans come up to you and ask you about more than any other? I mean, I would think maybe something from the Denver game, maybe that scramble, or is there one play that just, or is there not?
I think what comes up the most is I still hear about Denver a lot. Usually when I go visit my family in Colorado, and I hear about that play, that pass to Jimmy, or that scramble, that's pretty much it. Maybe the throw to Desmond. I thought I started that game. I guess I came in at the end. It was a long time ago. I don't remember very much, but. You know what? I'm really enjoying my time at Episcopal, and I'm going to be very smart because the head of school, my boss Charlie Zimmer, is right here, and so I brought him along with me. But I really enjoy it more than I thought I would. It's a very good school with very good people, and we've got the opportunity to build something special. It will take time. It will take work. I've got a very good coaching staff, and I've got some young men that work very, very hard, and so I'm excited about that. And it's not just about coaching high school football. I mean, I'm probably coaching a lot of places here. It's coaching high school football at Episcopal. Great support, and I'm not going to lie to you. You know, it's a challenge, but and it'll take a little bit of time. But I'm actually very excited about that. And very, very good opportunity and a great fit for me and my family. I mean, I'm right across the river, and it's a good school, and I'm home. You know, I get to coach, and I'm home for dinner. Are you kidding me? Absolutely perfect. So
you're thinking about doing this for a while?
Yes, sir. That would be my answer, yes. I'm thinking about doing this for a while.
Mark, you're also adding some of the broadcasting responsibilities, taking over the ESPN later this year. You did the play-by-play earlier this year, the color commentary. Talk about that aspect of it and getting to get involved with.
Well, first of all, here it was Dan called me and asked me if I'd be willing to do it, and I think I told him I need to think about it, but I had the answer, you know, right there. it was a chance to work with the Jaguars again. And like I've always felt a connection with this organization for obvious reasons. And, you know, Tony would tell me about his experiences with working with the Jaguars, and he absolutely loved it. And it just, it felt like coming home. So while I had no, color analyst experience, as you could probably tell with my first two or three broadcasts, it was fun to get back in the mix, and I loved it. The opportunity with ESPN is pretty exciting. Those don't come up very often, and so I was thrilled when they called, and so I'm looking forward to that. And what makes it work is that, you know, I'm not required to be up in Bristol until after our football season is over, so it's a the timing is perfect, and I'm looking forward to that. So, I do. Yeah, he is he's a good friend. He's just a phenomenal player, and yeah, I look forward to that. I think that will happen someday.